What's up, everybody? My name is Matt Dezen, and I am joined today with Anthony. How you doing, buddy?
How's it going?
This is going to be a very, very fun time because we're going to be talking about a new game that just came out about last week, actually. It's been about a week to about, a couple days. It's called Mario vs. Donkey Kong Tipping Stars. This is like the fourth or fifth entry in the series, I think. But there's some really cool things that separate this from the other games. And there's a lot of other things that kind of make it feel like the same old, same old. But today, me and Anthony, we're going to talk about our first impressions of the game. We've had quite a bit of time with it. Have you put very much time in the game, Anthony?
Yeah, I've basically played through for the single player. I'm through all the way through the first six levels. So and I've cleared all eight in each one. I just unlocked the seventh one, and I've played a lot of the user created levels. I haven't really created my own. I just messed with the interface. I just wanted to see how easy it was to use it, and it really is easy. But I just wanted to really kind of touch on every asset of the game since I knew we were going to do this.
My biggest problem when it comes to any sort of video game that ever has any sort of like create your own thing feature in it is I'm not very creative. I have such a hard time like creating a level in different video games, and this one is really in depth for what they're giving you. And I played a level. I just downloaded one from the community, and it was based on World 1-1 from the original Mario Brothers, and they did a really good job recreating it. I mean, I was really surprised, but I would have never thought to do that. I mean, do you get very creative when it comes to these, like, create-your-own things in games?
Not really. I think that's what kind of pushes me away from the Little Big Planet series, is that I'm not really that creative, so it really doesn't... It doesn't really draw me in. I guess you could say the same as why I probably never got into Minecraft, because I don't get drawn into actually making the levels myself. Now, this game, we'll start here since it's called Tipping Stars, because that's kind of where it gets its name from.
And I think it's a pretty cool mechanic, actually. It's unique. It makes the community use the community, and that's the one thing that I really like about it.
Well, the first thing Nintendo did was to try to build a community was they made this their first cross-buy game, which, if you don't know what cross-buy is, if you buy it on the Wii U, you get the 3DS version. You buy it on the 3DS, you get the Wii U version.
So, it's less cross-buy, though, oddly enough, and it's more like buy one, get one free, the way that they have it set up, because you don't just... If you buy it on your Wii U, it doesn't just automatically unlock on your 3DS eShop. They actually give you a code that you have to go and enter into the other platform to get it. Technically, and this would be weird, but I mean, technically you could actually buy one version of it and then give the code to somebody else.
I honestly think that's what they were aiming for with the whole community, is if, because it's the same game. I mean, there's slight variances if you've played both, and I did. I tried both. There, the 3DS one, you can tell it's not as high res, and the levels look slightly different. They look a little smaller because of the screen, I think. I think what they were hoping for was that you would give it to your friend or your brother or your sister or somebody else that has the system, and then they would take that, and then that would be two people now that are in the community building levels, sharing levels, because it really is about the community in this game.
It makes me kind of wonder if the $20 price tag wasn't kind of put on there as almost like, hey, you and your friend could split $10 a piece, technically, I mean, kind of, and then buy it and then give the other code to that person. You know what I mean? Almost like split the purchase, because I think the $20 price tag is a little steep for this game.
Yeah, I would agree. The $20 price tag definitely is a little steep. If I could go back, I wouldn't have redeemed the 3DS code, and I probably would have gave it to somebody.
It would have been a neat idea, even to almost hold on to that, not for like a real long time, but like I have a Wii U and a 3DS in my house, and I just got the new Nintendo 3DS, and it might have even been kind of a neat, because I'm going to give my old 3DS to my daughter. It would have almost been a good idea to buy it on the Wii U and then maybe give or put that code on her 3DS. That way she would have it for herself instead of me having it on my new Nintendo 3DS and on the family Wii U or whatever. But, you know, I wonder how you could kind of use that second code, you know?
Yeah. Do you know if you get tipped stars, does that go to both systems? How does that work?
I haven't seen it. I know that I tipped some stars, and they gave me 10 free stars because I did a tipping of my stars, and I never checked if those same 10 stars were on my Wii U and my 3DS version. I never checked that.
See, I would be curious, because if you can tip and get tipped and it goes to both of the versions, and it's kind of like one shared account, then I'm like, okay, you know, that it makes sense to have two, because then you can do it on the go, you can do it at home. I think the community section's where I care about. I don't care about the single player, like, to me, it doesn't matter. If I beat the game on the Wii U, I don't need to go and beat the game again on the 3DS. I don't need to pick up where I left off. That doesn't really bother me as much. I think it, like, if I'm really going to get hardcore into creating levels and hardcore into playing created levels, I think really that's where it's going to come down to.
I'm going to guess that it does not share the stars, though, because this game does not have any sort of cross-save feature.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing that I was pretty disappointed about. And it didn't surprise me, because there's no sort of cloud-saving infrastructure built onto the Nintendo Network ID, that at least that we know of, I should say. So it wasn't surprising when I found out that, hey, you can't do things on your 3DS and then get home to your Wii U and expect the same things to be unlocked. And that was kind of disappointing for me. I don't know. Were you at all? How'd you feel about the no cross save feature?
Yeah, I was disappointed with that, and with Ollie Ollie not having cross save features. Both of the cross buy games, neither one has cross save features.
Yeah, it's disheartening, because it kind of takes away. You have to almost pick and choose which one you actually want to play, to a good point. I mean, unless you're kind of playing them hand in hand with each other, which would be kind of, I mean, it's not weird, but at the same time, like, you have to choose. Do I want to play through all the single player on my 3DS version or my Wii U version? Because otherwise you just have to do it again. I mean, it is odd. I mean, I love the idea of cross-buy, and I hope more titles include it. I think it's a lot of value, but without the cross-save, it really doesn't seem to matter.
I think the really games that would benefit off of cross-buy is virtual console games.
Yeah, because those games are timeless, and you don't need to really worry about your progress in the sense of, like, I'm going to have to do this two times. It's like, oh, I'd love to do it two times in Super Mario Brothers 3. Honestly, I mean, I would have no issue buying Super Mario Brothers 3 for the NES and playing a chunk of it on my 3DS, and then playing a chunk of it on my Wii U, even if I've already played it again, because those games are timeless. Is that kind of why you think it would be better suited for the virtual console?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, plus, like, To have NES or Super NES games on the go is just, you know, that's something that, you know, I've always wanted. So that's a good buy. I wish we had N64 and Super or in Game Boy Advance games on the mobile platform. Well, I mean, I guess I wish we had N64 games on the Wii U platform as well. But, you know, I really think their virtual console would probably be the best suited to go with, like, you know how the PlayStation has the PlayStation Now? I would love to see a virtual console service similar to that.
My fingers are crossed that is what the whole reasoning behind them shutting down Club Nintendo and moving towards a PlayStation Now type system for their virtual console, because virtual console, as we heard a while back ago, that trademark fell through the wall. I mean, they actually don't have a trademark on virtual console anymore like they used to. So it could very easily be changed to something completely different, and they could just ditch that virtual console name, which I guess we're getting on a tangent. I just realized.
Maybe, I was going to say, man, me and let's you need migrate. The podcast yeah. more often, because we start going on stuff we haven't had a chance to talk in a while about.
I know. I was all excited to do some podcasts with you, and then I've been so busy that we've been literally unable to do a podcast until today. So yeah, we're getting out all that Nintendo fanboy talk right now.
Yeah, so to kind of segue into it, I do think it's a little weird that they didn't bring the Game Boy Advance version of Mario versus Donkey Kong out around the same time. I thought on the Wii U, I thought we would have definitely seen that.
Is that on the ambassador program for the 3DS stuff?
Yeah, actually, I do believe it is.
Yeah, I thought so too. And what is your history with the Mario versus Donkey Kong series? I mean, okay. Have you played a lot of the games?
I have. Okay, I played all of them. I don't remember that much of the first one, except for the fact that I remember I really liked it, and I thought that was my favorite of the series. I think that's the one where you get to control Mario freely, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, you're talking about Donkey Kong 94, which is kind of considered as the first Mario versus Donkey Kong game. Is that what you're speaking about?
I was considering the Game Boy Advance one, but yeah, I guess you could go back to Donkey Kong 94, but that game's great too.
Which is a perfect game, by the way. So anyone who's not played that, go and get it immediately on the Virtual Console for your 3DS, because it literally is like one of the best games ever made. I have to say that. Have to.
You know what's crazy? You know, I didn't play that game until it came out on the 3DS Virtual Console.
Same here. And I almost didn't buy it because I thought it was just going to be like a Donkey Kong game where it was like Mario was going like up and down the different structures. And the first four levels are like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to sit here and play this kind of Donkey Kong game on the go. And then after those first four levels are beaten, it becomes the greatest puzzle platformer ever.
I don't know about ever, but it's very good.
Ever.
But I was surprised how much I enjoyed it, considering I've purchased a bunch of Game Boy games and I've went back and played them and I'm just like, these are okay. But I was like, man, this is like a timeless game. This thing holds.
Yes, it does. It's very, very good. Maybe not ever, but definitely deserves mention. Anyways, you're talking about the Game Boy Advance one that you I don't remember a Game Boy Advance game where you can control Mario freely. I thought the first one was called March of the Minis, or is that a different? You know what? We both have a computer in front of us. You tell me about your experience with Mario versus Donkey Kong.
From what I remember, I'm telling you, it's a long time ago. I don't know. I don't really remember it 100%, but I was pretty sure you can control Mario freely. You could jump into like little cannon things that would shoot out. They also had like the little stairs things you can carry stuff around. If I'm remembering what the right game was, and then I'm pretty sure like that game had mini games on it. Maybe it was for the DS. Maybe I'm getting confused.
Well, no, I found a game. It's called Mario vs. Donkey Kong. It's for the Game Boy Advance, and it was released in 2004, and it's a puzzle platform game. It does look like you actually control Mario in this. It looks like a version of Donkey Kong 94 that is just really, really better graphics because it's on the Game Boy Advance, obviously. And then it says the sequel was March of the Minis, which is where you actually are. It's more like controlling those one things. Like lemmings.
Yeah, the little wind-up toys.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the one I remembered then. And, yeah, I remember having a really good time with that. I thought it controlled really well. I remember there were some pretty cool boss fights in it. And that was actually Mario versus Donkey Kong. Like, this one, you're still not really fighting Donkey Kong.
No, in fact, Donkey Kong is helping you because he throws you up as the little minis. He actually helps and throws up. You're not like scared of him or anything.
Which is kind of weird because they did change the title to Mario and Donkey Kong, and then this version they went back to Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Yeah, this game is definitely light on the other Mario versus Donkey Kong series. Now, this is going to sound weird, but they actually have a semi story to them. Mm-hmm. Donkey Kong kidnaps Pauline and takes her, whatever, far away. So Mario is now trying to save her, and that's kind of the quote-unquote story of these games. This one really is just levels. I mean, that's all it is. It's almost like if you bought a puzzle pack, and they just said, here's a bunch of puzzles, play with them. And then there's also a puzzle editor as well.
But let's explain why it's like that, because it's completely built on HTML5.
Yes, which is very interesting that they released it on the 3DS as well. Makes me wonder if we'll see more of the Nintendo Web Framework games also release on the 3DS.
Yeah, I mean, like technically speaking, that game it's probably one of the most impressive feats of an HTML5 game you'll ever see.
Because this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it has Nintendo polish written all over it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It definitely feels like a Nintendo game. But, it's bare bones only because of the fact that it's built in HTML5. But, if you play around with the editor, that's one of the easiest to use editors I've ever, got to experience.
Yeah, it definitely feels very comfortable. It makes me personally more excited for Mario Maker using this because this is made in HTML5. Mario Maker obviously was not made in HTML5. So I can only imagine the crazy things we're going to be able to do in Mario Maker, but that's for another topic for another day. Anyways, it's pretty impressive what you're able to do with it. And the different community levels that I've seen are pretty awesome. And then something that should also be said is the sharing of levels in this is very well done, I thought. Like, their integration with Miiverse was really cool.
Yeah, one thing Nintendo does need to step on right away, though, is they need to get rid of those, like, levels where you just gain stars real quick.
Yeah.
Because that's a really bad, like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but it's just a really misuse of the game.
Yeah, and so the game is called Tipping Stars. Mario vs. Donkey Kong Tipping Stars. The whole gimmick of the game is when you beat a level, you get a star. If you do okay, you get one star just for beating it. If you do, you know, a medium, good job, whatever, you get two stars. And if you beat with the high score, then you get three gold stars. The gold stars actually unlock more things to use inside of the editor. Now, it's going to take a long time to grind for stars. So what they did is when you create a level and you share it with the community is able to rate you stars. And when they rate you a star, they're giving you stars. So you can rate any level between 1 to 5 stars. Like the one that I played, I gave somebody 3 stars. So now they have 3 more stars added to their purse that they can now use to unlock more things inside of the editor, which I thought, super cool idea. Like, this makes the community be active with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gifted any stars? Like, what are your now the levels that Anthony's talking about? They're actually called, like, I don't even know. I'm sure there's a term somewhere on the internet for it already. But like, a level will say free stars, and it'll just be like this really easy level that you can play and get 3 stars in. That way, you can just easily kind of like farming. You can farm stars in it, basically.
Yeah, and I think Nintendo needs to cut that off right away. Like, there needs to be, I don't know how they're going to possibly do that. Maybe, I don't know if they have a moderator that's looking at the levels. I doubt it.
I'm pretty sure they do, though, because wasn't that one of the big, wasn't that something inside, like, the community section where it's, like, Nintendo made levels and, like, they're highlighting, like, really good levels and stuff?
Yeah, but unfortunately, everyone keeps tipping those free levels, so that's brought right up to the front of the pack.
See, the funny thing is I played one of the free levels just to kind of see what it was, and then I didn't tip them anything. Like, I'm surprised anyone is tipping them stars because they're just getting 3 stars, so why would you want to waste any of the 3 stars that you just got on them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that portion of it's awful. There are people that are very creative and have made some really cool levels that I've played, and yeah, I've tipped some stars out. I haven't made anything myself yet, so I don't really know if, you know, if anyone's going to tip me for the levels that I've made. But I mean, I hope they would, but I don't know. I'm not that clever when it comes to designing levels. That's why I review and podcast and complain about games and not develop them.
There you go. That's always the better choice to make. Now,
yeah, it's easy for me to complain sitting in the chair behind the computer.
Are you going to play this the main amount on the Wii U or the 3DS? Have you kind of made up, you know, quote unquote, your mind where you want to kind of play the game?
Well, I'm going to review it for Game Gravy on the Wii U, so I'm playing it on the Wii U.
Now, here's my question, because you did unlock it on your 3DS, like, do you think a certain amount of time will go by that you'll be like, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and play that 3DS version now. Or, I mean, after you kind of get exhausted from the Wii U game, do you see a whole lot of a reason to play it on the other system, you know?
I think I will play it on the 3DS more down the road because it's more of a pick up and play kind of game. When I sit down in front of my console, I usually want to, you know, sit down and play longer game sessions, and that's kind of like a, you know, I'm waiting for, so, you know, whatever you're doing,
yeah.
On a train or waiting at the plane, you know, the airport.
Much easier to pull out your 3DS instead of your Wii U. Yes,
yeah, exactly. And because again, when I'm sitting down in front of a console, I more want a full experience.
See, and I think I'm probably going to play this a lot more on my 3DS because my daughter started to play the Wii U version and I'm kind of helping her play it a little bit. You know, she's doing something on the game and I'm like, oh yeah, you should try this instead. So we're kind of playing the Wii U version together and I'm kind of using the 3DS as kind of my own personal venture through the game. Now, I made it to the second world so far. I'm on the 5th stage of the second world. And you know, difficulty-wise, I'm kind of worried that the game's going to get in this, like, kind of rut where it never really gets very difficult. It's never going to be, like, too easy, but I kind of worry that it's never going to get, like, I don't know, too difficult. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, do you feel like this is the kind of game that's going to really get, you know, brutal in difficulty? Or
if you want to get all three stars, it's going to get difficult. If you want to just complete the level, it's simple. I mean, you just got to get Mario to the door.
Yeah, true.
But if you want to go and collect all three stars, now you did mention there's three tiers, but you really didn't mention kind of how do you get those three tiers. It's all score based, but if you don't collect all the coins in the level, you're automatically not going to get a gold because your score is not even going to be close. But the two things it comes down to is you need to. It's first is collecting the coins, and second is time. If you take any extra time that you don't need, you won't get a gold either. Like, you basically have to do everything right the first time, or you're only going to get silver or bronze.
Yeah, I'll do a basic walkthrough of what the game is like when you play it on 3DS, and you do a basic walkthrough of what it's like to play it on the Wii U as well.
It's going to be identical. I played it on both.
Oh, okay. Well, on the 3DS, after you pick whatever stage you want to play, you're greeted where they show you all the stage and everything like that, and you're allowed to look around freely if the stage is big enough just by, you know, scrolling around with the circle pad or your stylus or whatever. And then you kind of have the ability to jot out your course. And there's where I'm at in the second world. I have three different obstacles that I can mess with, basically. One of them are the what are they, like, scaffolding, I guess? Is that what you'd call them?
Are you talking about like the original red things from the Donkey Kong? Yeah, I guess scaffolds would work.
Yeah, like scaffolding, where you are able to take them, move them, and place them wherever you want to. And then I also have these yellow springs that actually project you diagonally. And then I also have purple springs that project you directly up from where you're at. And my goal is to place the scaffoldings down and the different types of springs that I have down in hopes that I can collect all the coins in the stage and collect the Mario coin and whatever else needs, you know, collecting. And the way that this is done is when you're all ready to go, you just click on your little Mario and he just instantly moves forward. And he's always going to move forward unless he hits a wall. Then he's going to go in the opposite direction that he was walking in. And you're trying to get to the door. And when you get to the door, you go inside of it. If you have multiple Marios, they all need to get it through the door within about like 5 seconds, I'd say. Otherwise, you actually can lose the entire level that way. And I don't know if that's happened to you, but that is very annoying.
No, it actually hasn't happened to me. I've played March of the Minis, and I think there's one other one in the series that uses these little mini guys. So I'm pretty much a veteran when it comes to knowing like what I need to get done with those. Honestly, like I've had a couple really difficult levels with the there is a boss level, but it's not really a boss you're fighting against. An evil guy kind of takes over one of your, like an evil little monkey dude takes over one of your Mario minis, and you can't touch him or he kills you, so you have to find some way to beat him. So I get to those levels, and those ones have a little bit of difficulty, but there's some other items that you get later on. You're only in World 2, but you'll get pipes, like warp pipes, that you can move around as well, so you can pick up the warp pipes and move them to different locations, so when they walk through there, they'll end up going to a different location. You also get elevators. They're like the elevators in Donkey Kong, the original Donkey Kong, but they're not scaffolding. So you can kind of just step on them and they'll move you up or down depending on the way you place it on there. There's also like escalator tracks. So like that'll like conveyor belts, I guess more would be a better term. So they'll move your Mario character or your Peach or your Toad character in the direction that they're facing. So that gets difficult because sometimes they'll be going really fast in one direction and then you have to, you know, you've changed the direction of the conveyor belt by tapping, there's like a left-right thing on the screen somewhere. It's not on the actual conveyor belt, it's like in the level. It's embedded in the level. And that'll change all of the conveyor belts. So you kind of have to keep an eye on it. One of the really cool things I liked about it was the level where you have to get Toad and Princess into their own door. I thought that was kind of a cool dynamic.
Yeah, I've messed around with that level in one or two of these where Mario has to go inside one door and Peach has to go inside the other one. And I prefer those just because I feel like they do add another degree of difficulty. And you really have to kind of plan out like, okay, so I need Mario to move first, but after he gets to a certain point, then I need Peach to move, because you want them to, obviously you don't want to waste too much time on the level. If you were to just use Mario by himself and then try to do Peach by herself, you'd waste way too much time and you wouldn't get a good enough score, obviously. So I like the dynamic of trying to get each individual character inside of their own door as well. Now, here's the big question when it comes to this game, that, you know, it's just a puzzle game at the end of the day, which is fine, whatever, it's not a big deal. Are you having a good time? Is this something that you see yourself completing? Now, have you touched the bonus levels then too, I'm guessing?
No, actually, I haven't. I was going to beat the main game first before I went into the bonus levels.
Oh, man, you're hardcore. As soon as one of those bonus levels opened up, I'm like, I'm going to do this now. I'm almost done with the game, jump all around. So it sounds like you are. I mean, so was it a good time? Did you have fun doing it? I mean, was it worth the $20? I mean, I hate to kind of make it so blunt like that, but to a small point, I know you're going to do a review, so I don't want you to like give away your score that you're thinking about giving it or anything like that. But I mean, your initial thoughts, playing the game, seeing the game, $20.
Okay, I'll give you my recommendation at kind of like two fronts. As a consumer paying $20 for it, it's a hard sell at $20. I mean, I guess they could have released it at retail. Charged what, like $30 or $40 for it.
What if they would have released this as a retail release and only charged, let's say, $30? So you get a retail copy, $30, and then you do get a code that you can redeem for the other version. Do you think that would have almost been a better deal?
No, I would rather have this is a digital game. I want to say this is their third Mario versus Donkey Kong that's been digital.
Yeah, one for the DSiWare, one for the 3DS eShop, and one for now this one.
Yeah, so I mean they're already like kind of moved this into the digital realm. So I guess the only thing I could say about the price tag is the fact that you're getting the other version of it for free, kind of makes you feel a little more satisfied about that $20 price tag. I really think it should have been $15.
That would have been a much better deal.
I think for digital, like 15's the sweet spot. It's a really difficult time to sell me on anything higher than 15.
Yeah, and here's the thing: you bought it because you're going to be reviewing it, and I'm sure you kind of wanted it too. I had no, I was never going to review this game. Puzzle games like this, I really like to take my time. I'm probably not going to beat this for month and a half. I'm not, you know, that's just how I play my puzzle games. I'm going to play this first, and then when I get tired or I get to a point where I'm a little stuck, then I put in Pokemon Shuffle and I play my 5 hearts on that. And then when I'm done with my 5 hearts, I might go back to this, or I might play whatever other game that I happen to be playing at that time. You know, this is like such an easy to pick up and play game, and you can do 4 or 5 levels really quickly, honestly. I mean, it's not like each one of these levels are taking you a half hour. Each one of these levels are only taking you a couple minutes a piece.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's definitely better played as a pick up and play game. I wouldn't sit down and just, you know, one session beat all of them, because you're gonna get kind of bored with it, because you're doing the same thing in every level. But it works. If you want to marvel at someone making a game that accessible and that you know, great looking in HTML5, Nintendo definitely hats off. There's no doubt about it. They made a spectacular game in HTML5.
Yeah, and it is fun to play. I mean, this was just kind of an initial impressions. You're obviously a little bit further in the game, and you still sound like you're having a good time. I've played a good little chunk of the beginning of it is about it. But I mean. And I would just like to say, like, it is $20, but it is a lot of fun. And we as gamers, we play these games, we spend this money, and we do it because we're taking a part of a hobby that we enjoy. And honestly, there's a lot worse ways you could spend $20 than this game. And I don't know, I've really enjoyed it. And I do want more people to buy it and play it, because I do want to see more and more of these levels getting made. Because this is one of those games that could kind of go on forever if the community supports it, which I hope it really does. But
and that was like one other thing I was going to add in. I was just going to say, you know, I don't really care about creating levels, but I know there's a bunch of Nintendo fans out there that are very creative. I know Ryan, that does the Game Gravy podcast with us, and he writes for Nintendo Fever.
I could only imagine what he's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to get the game, but I've seen some of his Forza cars he's made. He made one for
Tiny Galaxy,
For Tiny Galaxy, and it looks amazing. So, I mean, he looks like he's pretty creative at making stuff like that, so I imagine he would make some pretty cool levels. And then, you know, we have a bunch of friends that, you know, develop games. I'm sure they'll make a bunch of cool levels if they get the game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I think that'll do it for this little conversation about Donkey Kong, Mario versus Donkey Kong Tipping Stars, unless you have anything else you'd like to add.
I just want to ask you, how far did you get in Pokemon Shuffle?
So my stage that I'm at right now, that I'm stuck on / I ran out of hearts a little while ago, so I only played up until I was there. I lost on my last heart on it. I'm on stage number 80 right now.
Nice. I just beat 150 today.
Who's 150? Spoil it for me. And if anyone doesn't want it spoiled, turn off your headphone for a second. But tell me, who is 150?
It's like the male Mewtwo evolved.
Yes.
So.
Oh, evolved?
Yeah.
What? No, I wanted Mewtwo so bad to be 150.
It's like, I don't know, it's like some weird, I'll send you a screenshot of it after the podcast, but it's, yes. Yeah, I want to say it's like male Mewtwo, evolved.
Huh, that's so weird. They should have just done Mewtwo. That would have been an awesome fan service thing to do. Now,
did you get the special one for this week, the legendary?
Yeah, I did. I caught the legendary, and I also... He's from what? Pokemon Sapphire Blue?
Yeah, Sapphire. He's a beast, man. Like, level, he's 70 attack. I'm like, wow.
Man, I really wish, and I don't know if it happens later in the game. I'm assuming it doesn't. I wish you were catching different leveled up Pokemon already, not just level 1 on everything.
No, they're all level 1.
And I do like, though, if I
150
beat,
is it.
If I lose at a stage... I do like that if I lose on a stage, it tells you like, oh, this Pokemon would be super effective against this Pokemon. It gives me reason to go back to that old Pokemon and try to catch that Pokemon. And while I'm trying to catch that Pokemon, my other Pokemon are obviously leveling up a little bit. So then I get him, I go back to the other stage, and then the Pokemon that I was using are leveled up. Plus, I got this new Pokemon that can like be super effective against this one. I think that's really... I'm having a ton of fun with this game, and the fact that I haven't had to put any money into it is just so cool.
Yeah, you know what I really think it was? I think Nintendo set out, they gave this game out because they knew Puzzles and Dragons is coming out in May. So they're gonna like get our appetites all wet for this, for like, because we've been playing this Pokemon Shuffle game, and then they're gonna release Puzzles and Dragons, and we're gonna be all over this game.
And I wasn't all that interested in Puzzles and Dragons. I mean, I was semi-interested because of the Super Mario theme to it. But because of this game and the fact that I want not only more, but I want an unlimited play style game where I don't have to worry about, you know, getting hearts and such. And there's an RPG element in it. Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm so excited for Puzzle versus Dragons now.
Yeah, so am I. It's so funny because, like, and it, I blame Pokemon Shuffle for getting excitement for this game even higher. So I really think they completely, like, under the radar, got everybody excited for Puzzles and Dragons.
Yep. Well, I think we've spent enough time talking about puzzle games and Nintendo goodness. I need to go and listen to my new Smashing soundtrack that I just got in the mail. So
I think you need Naked Shulk to come take you out. I mean... We could rearrange that again while you're listening to your soundtrack.
I thought about playing the soundtrack while I played Super Smash Brothers and be very meta while I did it. Like maybe play like the 3DS version, like do a round there, then do a round on my Wii U version and go back and forth while listening to the Smash Brothers soundtrack. That was an idea I had. But we'll see what happens. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening. Please send in your questions, tweet at us for future bizarre conversations and initial thoughts that are way after the initial release of the game, but we'll respond to you anyways. And also let me know, what level are you on Pokemon Shuffle, because I'm sure you're already kicking my butt. But Anthony, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, and then definitely tune in next week. I will promise I will have it up earlier. I will have a Mario Party 10 impressions podcast. If you get it, Matt, you're more than welcome to join me. But I will definitely get it up sooner so everyone can listen, sooner than a week. And yeah, my final thought on Donkey Kong, or Mario versus Donkey Kong, I would say if you are a Nintendo fan, go out and buy it. You will not be disappointed. And I would recommend giving your code to a friend so that way you guys can both enjoy playing the game and tipping each other.
Yeah, tipping one another. But thank you guys so much for listening. My name is Matt Dez. You can find me on the Nintendo Fever podcast. You can find Anthony on the Game Gravy Rewind podcast. Catch you guys later.
Peace.